This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What are the odds Facebook would change its business model if its data was really used to try to sway the last presidential campaign? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The advertising, social media, and data giant Facebook is not following the standard playbook for a company in a storm. For instance, getting top brass in front of microphones has not been a priority. It's been 5 days since the story broke that a British data mining company may have misused the data of tens of millions of Facebook users for political ends. Here's my colleague, the host of Marketplace Tech, Molly Wood.
There are three things that any PR firm or crisis manager will tell you to do when you have a problem with your business. Apologize, take responsibility for what happened, and fix the problem, not with band-aids, but with surgery. Now, Mark Zuckerberg has historically been very good at apologies, but it is so often a blow-up followed by an apology, followed by a change, that it feels like the company is only reacting to criticism as opposed to taking the potential unintended consequences of all of its power very seriously.
A reporter for The Observer newspaper in the UK says Facebook threatened legal action ahead of the publication of the original story, but The New York Times got a similar letter it didn't see as a threat. Today, a House committee began 2 days of hearings on more than a dozen bills concerning opioid use. Monday, President Trump unveiled his plan to tackle the epidemic. This included a multi-million-dollar media blitz from our health desk at WHYY. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looked into that.
Historically, public health campaigns to stop smoking or drinking target teens. Jeff Loeb, an advertising executive with Brainchild Creative, says you don't know where to aim with opioids.
Is it the patient? Is it the clinician? Is it the nurse? Is it someone else?
This week, President Trump said the nation will solve the epidemic with toughness and develop a multimedia strategy to reach young people. But modeling the ads on This Is Your Brain on Drugs or the Just Say No campaigns of the 80s and 90s is a problem, says Stanford psychiatrist Keith Humphreys.
The thought was, well, this will really frighten young people. But after very exhaustive research, you know, what was found is those ads either made no difference or they actually made some kids more interested. So it was really a complete failure and a complete waste of money.
Humphreys has advised Republican and Democratic presidents on drug policy. He's skeptical of any opioid media campaign, though focusing on people in recovery and highlighting their success might help people who are struggling. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Last year, when President Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, he famously said,
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
But Pittsburgh's mayor, Bill Perduto, wasn't having it. He laid out a plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. One big part of that, renewable energy and green building. But there are concerns that lower-income, predominantly African-American communities in Pittsburgh could get left behind. From the Marketplace desk at WESA in Pittsburgh, Erica Barris reports.
It's freezing outside and not a whole lot warmer in 87-year-old Barbara Williams' house. Even with a new furnace and added insulation, some rooms are still so cold she avoids them altogether. And things used to be even worse. Her daughter, Brenda Payne.
I remember seeing a few times seeing $300 gas bills, if not higher, for a month. And the house would still be freezing cold.
Derek Morris with Pittsburgh's Habitat for Humanity gets thousands of calls from people like this. All over the country, lower-income families spend more on utilities than families with higher incomes. Here in Pittsburgh, they spend about three times more. Most of the housing is old, and
low-income families can't afford to do these type of projects to make their homes more efficient. It's just, it's outside of their realm.
Projects like installing solar panels. And as more city residents and businesses produce their own energy, they pay less into traditional systems. And that shifts a bigger burden per person to those left behind. Hawaii saw this happen to lower-income residents in 2015.
The cost to that group began to rise in terms of having to pay for their electricity consumption because it needed to be spread out over fewer customers.
That's Gregory Reed. He runs the University of Pittsburgh Center for Energy. It's working with the city and utility companies to build independent microgrids that generate electricity. He says they'll keep energy concentrated and spread costs evenly.
Whether it's someone living in an older 130-year-old house that may need some repair, or whether it's one of the nicest, newest, highly efficient skyscrapers.
Solar panel salesman Knowledge Murphy has heard these everyone benefits promises before, especially as Pittsburgh's economy has been transformed by the healthcare industry and companies like Uber and Google.
There's not been any detailed mention of how exactly communities of color who've been left behind in Pittsburgh's tech boom and this reinvention of Pittsburgh are going to be included.
Murphy, who's Black, says there aren't many people in his field who look like him. Most of his clients don't either. Take Barbara Williams. Her daughter Brenda Payne says they wanted solar panels but couldn't afford to spend thousands of dollars. As for all those city initiatives to bring cheaper, greener energy to poorer communities.
We're the last one where the streets get done, the last one for any kind of, you know, beautifying, we're always last.
And she expects that will be the case here, too. In Pittsburgh, I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And United Airlines has stopped taking new bookings to carry pets in the cargo hold pending a review. Very sadly, a bulldog died in an overhead bin the other day. Plus, a German Shepherd with a ticket from Oregon to Kansas went to Japan after getting confused for a Great Dane while connecting at Denver. United says pets already booked can still fly, and the ones in the passenger cabin can still come. And cats in economy class will not be eligible for little bottles of scotch. That last part is not a policy change, I'm just saying. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.